Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our investigation of lies in the textbooks. Today we will begin a new study concerning lies in the textbooks about Islam. What the textbooks teach about Islam itself, the religion of Islam. First, we will share with you the lies which exist in the textbook. Then I will respond to it with some comments as it is written in the Quran and the Hadith, the only source of Islam. You see, you can say all what you want to say about Islam, but if it is not in the Quran, then it is not Islam. And if it is not in Muhammad's teachings of the Hadith, then it is not Islam. Let's begin with this lie.
In the text, Social Studies, Communities Long Ago and Today, published by Houghton Mifflin, copyright 2005, pages 388 through 389, many important ideas taught in Europe in the Middle Ages came from scholars who followed a religion called Islam.
Ideas taught in Europe in the Middle Ages came from scholars who followed the religion of Islam? What is this ideas? You see, the whole idea here from the textbook is to represent Islam to be a positive, great thing. You know, boys and girls, the technology we have in America today, it's actually a result of the ideas which come from the great scholar who are Muslims. Really? What ideas? What scholars? I don't even know that there is such a thing as a Muslim scholar. How can a man be a Muslim and be a scholar with great ideas? To be a Muslim, you have to believe in the Quran. The Quran teaches that there are seven earths and they are flat. So how in the world can someone believe in the verses of Allah in the Quran? That is to believe that the earth is flat and there are seven earths in the top of each other. And in the same time, you can call him a scholar. What kind of scholarship this is? There is plenty of nonsense throughout the pages of the Quran, and anyone who believes in such words, he or she loses the title of scholar. A good example of that is, do you know that the Quran teaches the sun sets at night in a muddy spring? That's how it gets dark every night, boys and girls. Is that what we really learn in Europe from these great Muslim scholars? What is the relationship between Islam or the scholar of Islam with good ideas? I would love for these writers who are teaching us this wonderful information about Islam and its scholars in our textbooks to open the Quran and show me verses where in it I can learn about these wonderful ideas. Do we have any evidence in the teaching of Allah in the Quran, scientific ideas, historical ideas, moral ideas, any ideas? I don't care what kind of ideas. Do we have any good ideas in the Quran? Do you know, my dear brothers and sisters, what is the result of these lies we're teaching in our textbooks? Now there are many Americans becoming Muslims because they believe about ideas which is not true. How many Muslim American men and women I met with in my life who believe in Islam to be this wonderful, great ideas, wonderful, great teaching, wonderful, great beliefs? And if you were to ask any of these Muslims to show you these ideas in the Quran, one of these wonderful, great things about Islam, Muslim could not find it. Just 2 days ago, I was in the city of Orlando, and I met with this couple, a lawyer and his wife, who became Muslims. And she shared with me how her teacher, this Muslim man, whom I doubt that he knew anything about Islam, how he taught them wonderful things about Islam. So I asked this couple, like what? They said, love, peace, human rights, equality of life. Men and women are equal. People are all equal. Justice. Really? Is this the truth about Islam? And then she shared with me the story about Jesus. She said her teacher told her, when they caught this woman committing adultery, and they brought her to Jesus, and Jesus said to them, whoever among you without sin, let him cast the first stone. And all the people left the woman, because they were all have sins. And Jesus said, neither will I will stone you. Then their Muslim teacher who led them to Islam told them that is the teaching of Islam, to forgive those who commit adultery. This wonderful dear Muslim friend and her husband believe that Islam is to forgive those who commit adultery. Why? Because her teacher told her so. But if you read the words of Allah in the Quran and the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith, you find the judgment of Islam towards this woman who commits adultery is the opposite of what Jesus did in the Bible. For Allah's word in the Quran, chapter 6 and verse 151, and Muhammad's word in the Hadith in Sahih Muslim, clearly teach that any woman who commits adultery must be stoned to death. That is the opposite of what Jesus did. But the teacher told our dear friend and her husband, this is Islam, to love and to forgive. Muslims use a story in the Bible and claim it to be the teaching of the Quran. You know why? It's very simple. There is not a similar story in the Quran nor in the Hadith. But the opposite is true. We have many stories where Muhammad gives the order for women who commit adultery to be put to death by stoning. So it is time for us Americans to stand up firm, to speak boldly against this propaganda which is written in our textbooks. They're brainwashing our children with a bunch of hogwash. This is baloney Islam. There is no good ideas among any Muslim scholar can be taught anywhere around the world. Because if it is a wonderful idea and does not exist in the Quran, then it is not Islam. If it is a great idea, does not exist in the Hadith, then it is not Islam. Don't give credit to Islam of something that does not exist in Islam. Especially when I open the Quran, Allah's word, and the Hadith, Muhammad's word, and I see the opposite there. Are you following me, my dear brothers and sisters? Don't speak highly of Islam and Muslim scholars about things does not exist in Islam, unless you can tie their good ideas and their good moral teaching to the teaching of Allah in the Quran and to the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith. If there is any good ideas or good teaching in the Quran or in the Hadith that is Muhammad teaching, I will give Muhammad and Allah credit for it. Otherwise, I will never give them any credit for anything, especially when we know that the Quran and the Hadith teach the opposite of it. Now, let's continue with the lies they teach in the same passage. For we read,
Islam started in the Middle East and spread to parts of Europe, including Spain.
So now we learn from our textbook that Islam started in the Middle East. Now, did our student learn anything about how Islam started in the Middle East? Have they read any of the verses of Allah in the Quran which Allah commanded Muhammad to kill Christians and Jews in the Middle East? Did the teacher tell the student here how Muhammad was commanded by Allah to engage in war with people until people believe in him? To kill all people until all people believe in him? Or just a wonderful statement? Yes, indeed, boys and girls, Islam started in the Middle East and spread all over the world. It even went to Europe, including Spain. So if you guys have any tie to Spanish, guess what? You have some roots in Islam. They have painted a positive picture of Islam. Did the textbook say to the student that in the country of Spain, there were more battles between Muslim and European than all the battles which was in all over the Middle East? The answer is absolutely not. Just 2 days ago, I met with a Moroccan Muslim in the city of Orlando, Florida. And I asked him, how did Islam spread in Morocco? He said, by the sword. And I laughed in my heart because I wish our textbooks explain this to our students in America. Yes, Islam spread all over North Africa. all over Asia, in Turkey and Syria, in Morocco and Spain, by the sword. Why are we sugarcoating Islam for our children? Why are we covering Islam with chocolate in our textbook? That is not the true story of Islam. If you want to teach that Islam spread in the Middle East and Spain, you must say, by the sword, as it is written in the verses of the Quran, and then you share the truth about Islam with our students. Then you can add more evidence and more proof that Islam spread by the sword by simply reading the words of Muhammad in the Hadith. Otherwise, we need to remove all this propaganda hogwash of Islam out of our textbook, because that's not Islam. We are infiltrating our students, our children, by trying to represent to them Islam to be another wonderful religion which spread all over the land of Europe and Africa and Asia. Really? Tell the whole story of Islam, or don't tell our students anything about Islam.
In our short time together here on Revealing the Truth About Islam, we can only cover a portion of all that we would like to share. Please take a few moments today and visit our website at www.thestraightway.org to find more information about the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the darkness of Islam. Our website has several links to many resources for further study, including a detailed listing of the many seminars we offer on DVD. Topics include, is the Quran infallible? Has the Bible been corrupted? The treatment of women in Islam? Muhammad or Christ? What the Quran teaches about Jesus? And many more. Have you always wanted to read what the Quran actually teaches, but didn't know which translation to trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugarcoated the many violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After several years of research and networking with scholars around the world, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry has recently offered the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever published. Filled with study notes to the reader and a careful comparison of key passages of the Quran and the Bible, this translation will arm you with the knowledge you need in reaching those lost in the darkness of Islam. Please take a few moments today and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org for all these resources and more. And now, back to our show.
If Muslims want to teach Islam in our textbooks, I have no problem. Read to me Allah's word in the Quran. Tell me about the truth about how Islam spread in North Africa, in Asia, and in Europe. But this beautiful, sweet talk about Islam, you can keep it inside the mosque somewhere else, but not in my textbook, not in my school, not for my children in America. I just received an article written in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by a teacher by the name Lamia Tabara, who is a Muslim 10th grade teacher in Salem School in Milwaukee. And she said so much lies, I couldn't even help it but to laugh. Her article title was, Islam Offers a Solution for Justice. She states that the Islamic perspective of justice is giving others equal treatment. She also said, for the people who do not get the closure of justice, Islam is a replacement for it. And she also said, Islam is a miraculous solution to help Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream a reality. Islam is a religion of justice. These aspects are the meaning of Islam. I have a very simple answer for my dear sister Lamia. First of all, you need to read the Quran and learn Islam, because you're teaching nothing but propaganda lie. There is no justice in Islam, not even between Muslim men and women and slaves, for they are not equal in Allah's word, the Quran, or Muhammad's word in the Hadith. And for sure, there is no equality or justice to non-Muslim in the Muslim world. And here my simple advice, until you find a proven evidence to your teachings in the Quran and the Hadith, you should never teach these lies anywhere. You see, this is the Muslim agenda here in America, to brainwash all naive Americans who know nothing about Islam or Muhammad and the Quran. People ask me, Brother Usama, how do you know if a Muslim is lying or telling the truth? I said it's very simple. If a Muslim man or a woman talks about Islam, if his mouth moves, he's lying. And if his hand writes anything, he's lying. Let me prove it to you. Let's listen to the rest of the lie in this paragraph, as is taught today to your children and my children in our textbooks.
People in the Islamic world had been exploring scientific ideas. Students in European universities began to study those ideas too. They learned new things about medicine and the stars.
It's just titles. It's just statement without any verification. Ideas. One more time. Yes, indeed, boys and girls, the Muslim world have come up with great ideas. And the students of Europe are studying these ideas in the universities. And they are really doing a great job with these ideas. You see, the car we're driving today is because some Muslim invented the idea of the car. And the airplane we're flying today is because some Muslim scholar invented the idea of flying. And the reason we went up to the moon, because Muslim invented the shuttle to go up to the moon. You know that watch we count the time with? It's a Muslim idea. And the glasses we wear to see better, it's a Muslim idea. You know the computer and the internet we have today? It is also Muslim scholars' ideas. Everything about life must have come from Islam. But the reality is, nothing was created or invented by any Muslim from the days of Muhammad until today. Nothing. So hear what we are teaching our children. Boys and girls, we're learning about medicine and stars from Muslim great scholars. You see, here it is, medicine and stars. Now we talk from ideas to real. If I open the Quran, will I see anything so I can give Allah and Muhammad credit for medicine? Yes, indeed. Chapter 5 and verse 33, which is what? Drinking camel urine. Boys and girls, Dr. Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, said if you drink camel urine, you'll be real strong and you'll be healed from your diseases. As a matter of fact, go online and search for camel urine. You will be amazed the list of diseases which can be healed simply by drinking camel urine and milk. By the way, you have to mix camel urine and milk together. Is this a medical idea we can learn from the Quran? What else about medicine in the Quran? What else about medicine in Muhammad's teaching of the Hadith? Nothing. How about the stars? What can we learn from Muslim scholars about stars? Anything? There are many people who studied the stars hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. That is before any Arab scholars or Islam. Forget about NASA space program. It must be Islam. The reason we went to the moon is Islam. And if we give the Muslim more and more room, they will tell our children. This is not a joke story, ladies and gentlemen. That's a true story. It's taught by Muslim all over the Middle East. Soon, it will be taught to American. When Armstrong landed on the moon, he saw the big crack in the moon. You see, in the book of the Quran, chapter 54, we learn about that the moon has been split. And guess who split the moon, boys and girls? Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him. He himself split the moon. Nobody saw it. But Allah assured the Muslim that this miracle really took place, as we read in Quran chapter 54 and verse 1, when Allah said, "The hour has approached and the moon has been split." As a matter of fact, Muslim would say, when Armstrong arrived on the moon, he heard the words of the Azan. Armstrong heard Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The call of prayer was heard by Armstrong on the moon in the Arabic language. And he could not wait to come to Earth so he can go to Saudi Arabia and say the Shahada. And he did. Armstrong died as a Muslim, boys and girls, because of the two miracles. He saw the crack on the moon, and he also heard the call of prayer from the moon. You see, the great help we get from Islam about stars? No, my dear Muslim friends, there are plenty of cracks on the moon, not just one crack. And Armstrong never heard the call of prayer from the moon. He never became a Muslim, and thank God, for he was asked in an interview and he denied all these lies. And by the way, this verse in the Quran was nothing but a copy of a poetry written by Amr al-Qais, who died before Muhammad made up his Quran. You know what? I have no problem for Muslims to teach Islam in our public schools, which is they must teach the words of Allah in the Quran and the command of Muhammad in the Hadith. I dare them to teach the truth about Islam in our public schools. That is non-abrogated verses, final words of Allah, final commands of Muhammad in the Hadith. But the problem is this propaganda, positive agenda of Islam, this lies about Islam, that's what I don't want in our textbooks. If it is in the Quran, I welcome it. If it is not in the Quran, it must be removed, because that is not Islam. There are plenty of good Muslim people out there. You know why? Because they don't practice the Quran teaching. You know why? Because they're ignorant of their Islam. The moment a Muslim studies the Quran and believes in the teaching of Muhammad in the Hadith, that's when you see this Muslim become a Muslim jihadist, or what you call here in America, a Muslim extremist. Read the Quran. Learn about Muhammad from the Hadith. That is Islam. Otherwise, it is a hogwash, and it must be removed from our textbook. Teach the truth about Islam, or teach nothing about Islam. To learn more about lies in our textbooks concerning Islam, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that You sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite You to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.